Well, greetings today in Jesus' name. This is day two in our little series on the world or cosmos. That's what we're studying here this week. And I would just really encourage you to go back to the first day and listen to that if you haven't already. Because there I defined what we're going to be talking about this week. I defined, gave a definition for the word cosmos, which is a Greek word, and it's translated most of the time in the King James Bible as world. And we talked about how God loved the world, but then in 1 John it tells us to not love the world, and we explained why that's like that. And what we're looking at this week is an aspect of the world that we're not to be loving, and we're not to be spotted by, and we're not to be a friend with, and we're not to be conformed to. That's the aspect of the world that we're looking at, this word cosmos. And just to go back a little bit from yesterday's message, in that perfect world, when God created the world with Adam and Eve and the Garden of Eden and everything, it was all perfect. There was all the, everything worked together, everything was orderly, and that's what the word actually means. The word cosmos is just an order or an arrangement that's there. And everything was perfect, and God was the center of it. Everything revolved around God. He created it, and God had fellowship with Adam and Eve. He walked in the garden with them, and it was just a beautiful, perfect order. There was no sin, there was no death, there was no suffering, there was no pain, there was no sickness, there was no disease, there was no weeds or thorns or anything like that. It was a perfect world. Everything was just very, very orderly and perfect. We can't even really imagine what it was like, but it is kind of interesting and fun actually to be able to think about what that world that God created. But when sin came into the world, things changed, and this cosmos changed. And instead of God now being the center of this, man was the center of the world. And that's where we're at in our society today. It's not about God in our society, in our world. It's about man and how great man is and how great what man can do. And it's about, you know, all these kind of things. And it's not about God anymore. And there is sin, and there is suffering, and there is pain, and there is death, and there are thorns and weeds and insects and poisonous snakes and all these things that wasn't in the original creation. But things change because of sin. And God tells us not to love this world or not to be conformed to this world. And I believe what it's talking about, this is what we're going to be looking at, is the systems of the world. And yesterday I gave the different systems, or several of them, that we'll touch on and maybe expound on. Some of these systems: the political system, the monetary system, the medical system, the insurance system, the religious system, the educational system, the value system, the judicial system, the entertainment system, the fashion system, the sensual system. And God hates man's systems and wants the believer to also hate what God hates and to love what God loves. And so that's just a little bit of a review of what we talked about yesterday, but I would encourage you to go back to day two and listen if you haven't already. All right, well, for today, what I would like to look at is the monetary system. And to start off, we'll need to turn over to Timothy. Actually, it will be 2 Timothy, let's see, First Timothy chapter 5. Familiar verse, I'm sure, to all of us. We'll start with verse 6. We'll break in here in chapter 5 of 1 Timothy, verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, this is God's system that he's giving us right here in this verse. That godliness with contentment is great gain. That is what the Christian is supposed to be like. He he's not supposed to be, as it says earlier, envying and strife and railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw yourself, but godliness with contentment is great gain. That's the goal, or the what's lifted up for the Christian to be like, being content. And that's great gain. And then it goes on and explains, for we brought nothing into this world. When we were born, we didn't come with our boots on. We didn't come with money in our pockets. We didn't come with just a great wealth of knowledge or anything like that. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. We're not going to be taking our farms with us. We're not going to be taking our money or our businesses, none of that. When we leave this earth, when we die, and we're not going to take any of this. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. This godliness with contentment is great gain. This is what is held up to us as Christians. This is God's system that he wants, is that we would be content, having food and raiment. And I think in the word raiment, it's more than just clothes, but it would be a covering or a roof over our head. It doesn't have to be a mansion on the hill, but a roof over our head, that we should be content with this. And then it says, but they that will be rich, or they that want to be rich, fall into temptations and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. This is the system of the world that God tells us not to love, not to be a friend with, not to be spotted by, and not to be conformed to, because it's a snare, and it's into many foolish and hurtful lusts, and men drown in the destruction, in this destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, and that's the systems of the world. And we can expound on that. I don't think I need to. I think you understand that, whoever's listening, that we can see how so many evil things are done, and it's a lot of times it's just for money. Theft and killing and jealousy, all kinds of different things. While some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So they've erred from the Christian faith if they have a love of money. If we have a love of money, let's bring it right down to ourselves. Let's not just talk about somebody else out there, but if we want to be rich, or if we're striving to be rich, it says, but they that will be rich or want to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. It means they've lost the faith. They've gone on a different road. They've taken a detour from the walk of faith, and they've pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, now this is getting back to God's system of monetary value. He says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things that we just talked about, we just read here, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. That's God's system. That's what he wants. That's his cosmos that we're to love and to be a part of, and we're not to love the world system of this, the love of money. And then it says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. Okay, and then let's just turn over, skip a few verses here. Charge them that are rich, this is verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate or to give, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. So this is a contrast here, a contrast between the world's system and God's system. And, you know, where are we at today? Are we desiring and striving after riches and wanting to be rich and piercing ourselves and our families through with many sorrows? Or are we following after righteousness and godliness and faith and love and patience and meekness and fighting the good fight of faith? Which is it for you? Which is it for me? The world's monetary system, it's also sometimes called the American dream. And in that world system, there's credit cards. It's buy now and pay later. No payment for 6 months. You can just have whatever your heart desires, your eyes desire, and you can just put it on that plastic card and pay for it later. That's the world system, and that's something that God wants us not to love and not to be conformed to this. In Romans chapter 13, verse 8, it says, owe no man anything but to love. And so this is pretty radical. Don't owe anybody anything. I've pondered that, and I'm not even sure it's our system is a little bit hard to do that completely, I guess, because, yeah, we would get some things. Well, yeah, if we use electricity, well, we're getting the electricity and we're paying after we use that electricity. And, I mean, we can go into details there. I'm not going to. But and I think there is a huge difference between getting a house loan and having credit card debt and that kind of thing. So that's the world system that God doesn't want us to love. In Luke chapter 16, verses 9 through 13, the end of that parable, it's of the unjust steward. And let me turn there quickly here. Luke chapter 16, 9 through 13. Okay, it says here, and I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And this isn't just talking about money. This word mammon means more than just money. It's like possessions or something like that. It can include more than just money. And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon or things. You can't serve God and serve things. So are we building our kingdom or are we building Christ's kingdom? What is your life like? What is my life like? Are we building our own kingdom, or are we building Christ's kingdom? Does your business run you, or do you run your business? Do you work to live, or do you live to work and make more money, to buy more things, to be more comfortable, to enjoy this world more? And as we lived in Idaho for 16 years, cut down a bunch of trees and built a log house, peeled them all, and we did that mainly so we could be out of debt. We just went as we could afford it. We didn't go into debt on that. We would just, you know, we had just subflooring in the floor, just plywood subflooring for most of the time that we lived in the house. We just had a outhouse for some time. We only had electricity coming in through an electric cord for a while. And as we could afford it, we would, you know, add some different things to the house and that. But we lived simply, and we did without. And it was we weren't trying to keep up with the Joneses or the Zimmermans or the Martins. And this was, of course, in that area, there wasn't many Zimmermans and Martins. But we ate simply and healthy foods, working hard. And that was, the way that we raised our family. And it was a blessing to be out of debt and not to be part of this world's monetary system. So I'm just going to close with that. We're running out of time here for today, but we're going to take up another system of the world tomorrow. So God bless you, and I hope you are just real blessed in your life and your family, and that God would really work in your heart. So talk to you later.